Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or simply hoping to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back, Richard. It's 2018.
Now, we always have to start. What day is today?
Today is New Year's Eve, but we're recording for New Year's Day.
Right.
So it's the 31st, but we're recording for January 1st.
So our friends will see this
on January 1st.
Yeah. We have already walked.
So, Happy New Year.
Monday.
Yeah.
So we got to walk, right?
Yeah.
It's going to be cold. Bundle up tomorrow.
I'll have plenty of jackets. No worries.
Good.
But we are into this new year, and if you're listening to this, you have heard our new intro music. You've seen, if you're watching this, you've seen our new intro graphics. Mm-hmm. We'd love to hear what you think about it.
Right. We're excited about this year.
We are.
We had so much to talk about.
Man, we've had a lot of things. We've been planning a lot of things, and everything is starting to come together a little bit. So
yes, it is.
It's going to be great.
Since 2014?
Since 2014,
we've been doing this.
I think we started in 2014.
Started out small, 2014, and then now it's 2018. It's hard to believe, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been a long time.
But 2018 is going to be a banner year.
This is going to be a big year. We have so much to do, and just can't wait to get information to you guys and to be able to provide you more information that you'll be able to hopefully use to make your life better.
But we want to begin by wishing everybody
a new year.
A happy new year.
Happy new year.
A happy, productive, prosperous, rewarding.
Yeah. Did you see my new tie?
You know,
a friend of the podcast gave it to me for Christmas.
Yeah, I didn't get one.
Yeah, well, you don't wear ties anymore.
Well.
So... you can wear this bow tie if you want, but you don't like wearing bow ties.
I'm gonna try. It's one of the things on my list for 2018.
Yeah?
Bow ties, yes.
Excellent.
I'll tell you what.
What?
This will be good.
Okay.
This comes under the heading of accountability for your New Year's goals and resolutions.
Okay.
When I will wear a bow tie, and when I do, on that day, I will explain why I had never worn one before.
Okay. That's fair.
I will do that. There is an explanation.
Mark the tape.
There is an explanation, and I think that by February or March, maybe before, sometime in the first quarter of the year, I will wear a bow tie, and I will explain why I have never worn one since I was 10.
Folks, you heard it here first.
Right? No, seriously.
Yeah.
I have an explanation.
Well, I can't wait.
Okay.
I'm eager to hear it. So, hopefully I'll hear it before everybody else, just so I know. We'll see.
Okay.
Who knows? But
nice bow tie. No, that is nice. Whoever did that.
She handmade it.
I saw it on your desk a few days ago, and I looked at it and commented, and you said it was made by somebody, and I said, whoever made this is a very good seamstress.
Yes.
He or she really knows.
She did a great job.
She really knows what she's doing. That's really good work.
And it's lobsters, and it's blue. There's some red on it, but there's blue.
No, that's good.
I like blue.
Chelsea.
So.
Okay.
But you know what? All of that stuff aside, we're going to start out the year talking about an issue that is an issue that's often at the top of the list for New Year's resolutions.
That's right.
And we've been wanting to talk about this, to discuss this topic in more detail for some time, because about a month or so or two ago, we did a podcast on addiction and kind of talked about our concerns and our issues with the fact that we're calling everything an addiction nowadays.
That's right. It springs from these recurring questions. When we do our talks around the country and around the state, we always get this question about whether my child is addicted to her cell phone or my son is addicted to video games. And people use this term. Mm-hmm. It's one of those terms that has this sort of layman or colloquial use, but it's also these are also scientific terms,
right?
And so there's a great deal of confusion, and so we want to clarify some of that confusion. And we chose this topic this week because it is one of the most frequently made resolutions: is that people are going to quit smoking or quit drinking or quit shopping, or they make these goals to end what they call their addictions. So we thought, well, that's a good place to begin.
Yeah.
People are making resolutions tonight.
Absolutely. We'll see.
That they're going to start tomorrow. And I was thinking about how what they're going to do tonight.
That's right. Right?
And I suddenly got this thought about what they're going to do tonight in preparation for the new year.
Right.
We don't do that, do I? Do
no.
I don't go out on New Year's anymore.
No.
You don't either.
No need.
Come to the office.
So today we're going to start out with sort of defining addiction,
right,
and talk a little bit about just what it is and the different ways in which we describe addiction and how the definition of addiction is kind of changing a little bit.
Yes, it is. And that's important to know.
Right.
You know.
So let's just get to it. So in the mental health field, we use a book called the DSM, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of
Correct.
Mental Disorders.
Mm-hmm.
And within that book, it defines and describes and gives lots and lots of information about what a condition or disorder is. How do you make the diagnosis?
Correct.
What are the diagnostic criteria? What are the mm-hmm. prevalency rates? All kinds of information about the different conditions.
Correct.
Now, we're into the fifth edition, but it's important to say that some of the editions had revisions. So mm-hmm. we had the DSM-1, the DSM-2, the DSM-3,
right,
and then we had the DSM-3 revised.
Mm-hmm.
We had the 4, and we had the 4 text revision.
Right.
And now we have the 5.
So,
and they're already kind of talking about an adjustment to the DSM-5.
Well, they are. They have category pending. They have that whole
right.
pending thing. That, and they've asked professionals to continue to weigh mm-hmm. in on the decisions. But the big difference between 4 and 5 is that, or the big difference with 5
mm-hmm.
for many disorders, is they're beginning to put disorders on a spectrum.
Right.
Okay. And so that's revealed
right.
When it comes to addictions too, because that's a pretty substantial change,
right,
I think.
Yeah, and there's good and bad to that. And,
right,
you know, this isn't the podcast that we'll really get into mm-hmm. that, but
right,
it does increase the possibility or the prevalency of a lot of conditions,
right,
because when you start going from, you know, you have to be on this end of the spectrum to
right.
to have a diagnosis for something, and then you go from that to, well, here's the whole
mm-hmm.
spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're just kind of opening the door for a lot of other people to be diagnosed
yeah.
with something. But
right, what we like about the spectrum conceptualization, the nosology of the spectrum disorders, is that there were many times in the categorical definitions
mm-hmm.
where you said, boy, I'd really like to make the diagnosis, but there aren't enough
right.
Symptoms, or they aren't severe enough. But I'd really like to, and now you can, because
right.
at one end of the spectrum is very mild symptoms.
Right.
And so you can still make the diagnosis, but you can specify that it's mild, not moderate or severe.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to substance abuse disorders, what the DSM-5 did was it changed the way in which we think about addiction disorders or
right.
substance abuse in general, from a sort of a two-category
That's
system
right.
to a single-category system.
That's
and
right.
So
DSM-4 and 4TR
mm-hmm.
had those two categories.
Right. It had substance abuse and substance dependence
right.
were two different
right.
diagnoses that you could have in the DSM-4.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The DSM-5 sort of collapsed those into a single substance use disorder. It doesn't
That's
even
right.
use the word abuse anymore.
That's right. And that was one of the surprises that
yeah.
when it came out, when DSM-5 came out in 2013, the word abuse
right.
isn't in there. And
right.
yet it's still common parlance. We still
right.
use the term. But the term abuse isn't in DSM-5 at
right.
all.
Right, mm-hmm. right, absolutely. So, and regardless of the substance, because the DSM-5
right.
includes a lot of different
mm-hmm.
substances,
right.
From, you know, and they're typically drug substances. So we have, you know, cocaine and nicotine
right.
and marijuana and caffeine and
caffeine,
you know, so
there.
All of these are listed in there, but what, regardless of the specific substance,
mm-hmm.
we talk about some specific symptoms in order to meet criteria for a substance use disorder.
Right, and I'm going to introduce this topic now because it's going to come up later, probably later today, maybe later in this podcast, but certainly later in the week. We're talking about substance use disorders.
Right.
So that's why we're not talking about cell phones and video games. Because
right.
now, in this section of the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, all that is discussed are substances
right.
in this section.
Right.
And that's an important limiting factor when it comes to this whole topic of addiction and dependence.
Right. Because even when we think about things like gambling and things like that, it doesn't fall under the substance, the addiction disorders.
Not by definition. It's excluded.
Right.
Right.
Instead, it falls into the impulse control disorders.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll kind of get into that, like you said, over the course of the week and talk a little bit about how that reflects cell phones and video games and internet. And
because we use the term loosely,
right?
In daily use, we use it loosely. We say, well, she's addicted to her cell phone, or she's addicted to chocolate, or she's addicted to something else. But that's not what we're talking about now. We're talking about the abuse and use of substances.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And so the four major types of symptoms that we see in individuals who would meet criteria for substance use disorder, according to the DSM-5, include impaired control, social impairment, risky use, and pharmacological criteria. So we're talking about sort of tolerance and withdrawal symptoms.
Right.
Classically, those are the four groups of behaviors or symptoms that we see and we categorize as a substance use disorder.
That's right. When somebody comes in, frequently people will come into the practice and they'll say, am I addicted? Do I have an addiction? And so to answer that question, we go to these four characteristics.
Right.
You know, that's what we're using
to
make that, to answer that question.
Right. Mm-hmm. So when we think about impaired control, what we're talking about is a person who can't stop using.
Right.
This is a behavior as opposed to a chemical need, because when we get to chemical need, that's the pharmacological criteria, the tolerance and withdrawal.
Mm-hmm.
When we're talking about social impairment, we're talking about this sort of the sacrificing of relationships in order to use the substance.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, when we're talking about the risky use, we're talking about a person using the substance despite problems. So they're using it when they go to work, or they're using it when they're driving, or they're using it in substitution for other things that they should be doing.
Mm-hmm. Even at the risk of being arrested.
Right.
You know, but not just youngsters. They'll use it and drive, even though they risk losing their driving privileges.
Right.
But they engage in risky behaviors.
Right. So some of the things you think about are has there ever been a time, or are there times when you consume more of the substance than you intended to, or where you consumed it to the point of amnesia, where you can't remember what happened? Those are the kinds of things that would come under risky behavior.
Yeah, risking your health.
Right.
And well-being.
Right. Mm-hmm. So those are sort of the four categories. And so outside of those four, based upon our criteria, we're not really talking about an addiction. And so, you know, a couple months ago when we were talking about addiction to some extent, we were referring to the idea, remember we mentioned the idea of a functional alcoholic.
Right.
And how it doesn't really fit the criteria that we talk about, because if you're truly an alcoholic, meaning that you have a substance use disorder, an alcohol use disorder, we're talking about somebody who has to have some functional impairment, that has to have some impaired control problems and social impairment, et cetera.
Right. You wouldn't be an alcoholic. You wouldn't be classified as an alcohol use disorder if you didn't have some kind of an impairment. So you can say, he's not impaired on the job, but he's impaired in all these other ways.
Right,
right.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's a great point, because you can be impaired. You can have a substance use disorder if you're impaired in some areas, but not in other areas.
That's right.
Like if you, you may not be so impaired socially, but that's maybe because all the people that you socialize with also use the substance and everything. And so that's part of your social ritual.
Or your family may be dissolving,
right?
But you may be doing just fine at work.
Right.
Okay. But you still have an impairment.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So when we think about addiction, that's what we're talking about from a diagnostic perspective from the manual that we use.
That's right. Right.
So as you said at the beginning of the podcast, this is different than what we have been talking about when it comes to sort of the connotation of addiction.
Right.
When we say someone is addicted to addicted to the internet, or addicted to shopping,
addiction, social media,
you know, shopaholics, and things
Twitter
like that.
Addiction.
Those are all differences, and don't really fit the criteria of what we're talking about with addiction in the DSM-5. But that is changing.
Right. More on that later.
Right. They're looking to add another sort of expand this category to some extent. Expand the category or add a new category.
Some very influential organizations are considering changing it. And we're going to discuss that as we go through the week, but also as we go through this year, because those changes are supposed to be made around May, sometime in May. So more on that later.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I guess one of the last things we want to talk about as it relates to this topic for today is we want to talk about the issue of the difference between drug addiction and drug abuse. And I just wanted to kind of differentiate those two things very quickly, because addiction is the diagnosis.
Right.
It's not the name of the diagnosis, but it's what we're talking about with the diagnosis. Mm-hmm. Drug abuse, that is a much more broad term. It's talking about a lot of different behaviors.
But you're using it to excess. That's what that term abuse means.
Right.
Is that this is something that, for whatever reason, without any other info, you're using it to excess.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Right. So when we think about
Mean you're addicted to it.
Right. That's the point. That's the big point that we've got to make there, is that when we're talking about drug abuse, we may be talking about somebody who goes out on, you know, a Friday evening every, you know, 6 months and drinks too much and, you know, gets blitzed and, you know, mm-hmm. has amnesia. So they really overuse the substance to excess. But they don't drink any other time in between. They don't have any impairment in functioning. They abuse the drug. They abuse the substance. But they don't really have an addiction.
Right. Or the person who drinks every Friday night. You know, they go out and it's end of the week, and they go out and they drink to excess on Friday night.
Right.
That's not necessarily an addiction.
Right.
Okay. So it's we want to keep those things separated.
Right.
So when we talk about abuse, we may not be talking about talking about addiction.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So the addiction is the diagnosis.
Using the term.
Right.
We make the diagnosis of addiction by using the term in DSM-5, which is substance use disorder.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. So that makes sense?
It does to me, but it's not.
It's not clear.
You know, as you said, we want to try to clarify these terms.
Right.
And certainly if you have any questions, or you want further clarification, please let us know. But that's why we carved out a whole week to discuss this, because it's not a simple it's not a simple discussion anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. So, all right.
Okay.
Anything else for today?
No, that's good.
Hopefully, that gives you a bit of a base for what we'll be talking about the rest of the week. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about the brain. We always like to talk about the brain.
Right, and that too has important implications.
Absolutely. So, all right, that's it for today. So, until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid. Thanks for sharing this episode of the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to follow us on Twitter and subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you will find all of our previous podcasts and much more. We would be honored if you would become a patron through patreon.com, where any donation you can manage will go to the development and creation of more content. Just visit patreon.com/themental breakdown for more information. Thanks again for listening. Have an awesome day, and we look forward to being back in your feed tomorrow morning.